You're listening to Strange by Nature, your guide to the strange, weird, unbelievable, and improbable wonders of the natural world.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for being here today. I am Kirk Mona, and I am joined today by Rachel Ginza and Victoria Thompson. We are all professional naturalists who together have scoured the world for weird and wonderful wonders just to please your mammalian brain's desire for novelty. Isn't that nice? Let's do this.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special edition of the show. This is actually the kickoff for the fourth year of Strange by Nature.
I can't believe it. Can you believe it?
It's amazing. I know a lot of you have not been along for the whole ride, or have maybe come to the show recently because our numbers have been increasing. So you maybe were not around for any of these special episodes we've done in the past. We invite, I don't know if invite is quite even the right word. We allow the takeover, perhaps a hostile takeover, if
it
you will,
usually is.
Of the show by a great friend of the show, and an amazing naturalist, Mr. Brett W. Sieberer, who is going to quiz us and put us through some trials, I believe is a good way to put it, ask us questions somewhat about the last year of the show, maybe about our just general knowledge. We don't know. He never tells us what he's preparing, and he's lurking in the background right now. How's it going, Brett?
Okay. So two things here. One, you say it's a hostile takeover of the show, which paints me in a somewhat negative light. Two, I'm lurking. Not too many positive characters in stories are the lurkers. So, you know, thank you for that introduction.
Lurker,
I appreciate it.
We love you, Brett. Are you
just putting your thumb on the scale?
I just mean lurking in the sense of, you know, the internet, someone
hanging
who's hanging back, observing things until their shining moment arrives, the spotlight is on them. We are now turning the spotlight to Mr. Brett right now, and whatever happens from now on, this is your ship, Captain. Take it away.
You know, Captain, Internet Lurker, Pseudo Troll, I guess, whatever you want to refer to me as. Yes, it is now my show. First and foremost, just a congrats to making it through three amazing years of the podcast. The topics, the information, the fun stories, the laughter. It has been quite a ride, and definitely my privilege to be allowed to come and be a part of the show. Like in the past, the stuff I have for you tonight, some of it is, you know, in reference to topics you have covered over the past year. Some of it
is... We got a chance on that.
Right. Some of it is a test of your just general naturalist knowledge.
Right.
You know, and yes, the fifth and final question, we will reprise Eat Rider Jacket. We're going to get there.
Yes! Yeah.
Everyone's favorite game, Eat Ride Jacket.
It's coming.
But oh my gosh.
We will start off with, I feel, probably the most appropriate way I can. Now, much to probably all of your listeners' chagrin, this show far too often delves into the realm of parasites.
It's
disgusting.
It does indeed.
It's unsettling. It's just gross. But we still listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have here a list of... Well, they are weird. They are strange. I mean, it fits right in with the title. But man, they're awful. Just awful. So now I have a list of five parasites that I need to know from you whether or not they are real parasites or not.
Oh, wonderful. No. This is great.
Okay, is this just by name or description, or what are we getting?
By name, which I know the common name type stuff you've talked on the show is not always the best way to go about it because it is a little different from country to
country.
Historically,
I'm not
great at these sorts of questions. That's the game we're playing. And so I'll be honest, as I was putting together this list, I was a little nervous. I'm going, man, did they talk about some of these? Like, some of these sound kind of familiar. So, but
it's been a lot of topics on the show over the years. So.
After 160 shows, even you may not fully remember everything you've done. So
absolutely, yeah.
All right, so here we go. Real parasite or not, the Tyrannosaur starving parasite. Tyrannosaur starving parasite. Real or not?
Tyrannosaur starving parasite. I want that to be real so badly.
So this would have to appear along with a fossil of Tyrannosaurus, I assume.
I would assume so, unless, you know, there's...
Unless it has little arms and a big mouth.
Well, maybe someone's just a fan of dinosaurs, right?
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to picture a little-armed parasite.
It's like a Tyrannosaurus tapeworm or something.
I like where we were going on this road of the T-Rex parasite. I do know paleontologists have been able to study some of the bones and things and have seen evidence of disease in dinosaurs. That's
right.
Something that we can definitely see in the fossil record.
But generally speaking, parasites are soft-bodied, so it might be harder for fossils to happen.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, I mean, there are
you're seeing more the damage that they're causing than the actual thing themselves. But you could definitely see like the pathology of the, you know, the end result of the parasite rather than the parasite itself. The flip side of this is that knowing that this is Brett asking this question, he could be completely trolling us, and I know he's a big fan of T-Rexes and dinosaurs and Jurassic Park.
Love dinosaurs,
so
love them.
He may. I'm going to go real, though, because I think that it'd be cool. Yeah, we're going to go real.
Trichomonas gallinae is a protozoan that causes lesions in the lower mandible of dinosaurs, which they believe Sue. This is maybe what got Sue. She has small holes in her lower mandible. It is something that present day a pigeon is the host, and it is something that affects falcons and hawks. And those lesions then make it difficult to eat, thus they starve to death. Real parasite.
Wow, so this is a parasite we have evidence of going back probably over 65 million years and still extant today, affecting modern dinosaurs, basically. That
if
is
anybody
awesome.
Doubted that birds are, in fact, dinosaurs, there you go.
Right, there you go.
But I'm a little nervous with this list that I might be just tearing up people's list of what they want to cover in the future, but we will proceed nonetheless. Okay. Number two, head busting fungus.
I'm just gonna say, full on.
I want this to be real so bad.
I'm usually terrible at this game. I'm going absolutely head busting fungus. It bursts out the brains of like whatever a toast is. Absolutely
something.
It sounds awesome. I'm gonna go real just because I want it to be real. Yeah. I don't even care if I'm wrong.
Ophiocordyceps unilateralis. By the way,
of course it's cordyceps.
A brief round of applause for my Latin. I've been working on that. I wanted to nail it.
You did amazing.
Thank you.
Golf clap.
This is a parasite that affects carpenter ants. It's a fungus, right?
Ooh.
And so it basically turns them into zombies, where then they will find themselves on the undersides of leaves, where they then die, and then from their head bursts the stalk of the fungus, and when it spores out, those spores drift down onto unsuspecting ants below, therefore carrying the fungus forward.
Amazing.
We've head definitely talked about some fungus. Related cordyceps funguses that, on the show before. Yeah.
This is the one that I kind of thought sounded somewhat familiar.
It was an early episode.
I don't know that I've heard of it referred to by that name, though, so that's very interesting.
Mm. Yep. Number three, toe worm.
Gross.
Toe worm. I bet it's like a horse parasite or something.
I have no problem with it, but just there's sort of the whole like school test thing where the odds say, you know, maybe one of these is going to be fake, so we should say it's I'm going to go fake on this
That's
one.
That's kind of where I'm at. Just I think Brett might have I'm also just
thrown
really,
something in there.
Really
Who's
hoping.
Toes? That's what I'm wondering.
I hope that it's not real. Because like little worms just out of toes. No.
Yeah.
I mean, this seems like, if it is real, it seems like exactly the kind of thing I would cover on the show.
Bro.
I mean,
awful. I would full on skip that episode. So thank God it's not real.
Thank
you. I mean, there
is. Yes!
What
there,
is it? The filariasis?
Right. There are hookworm type stuff that will affect feet, but nothing that I could officially find that was officially called toe worm. So.
Oh, well, we're grateful for that.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Number four, colon boring gastropod.
No.
Oh, God.
Colon boring gastropod.
Yeah, I'm going to say
I
yes.
I don't like that at all. Whose colon is the question, right?
Could be anybody's, boring. Really.
Yeah.
I could definitely see a gastropod boring.
Yeah, some snails have very... sentence. Intense mouth parts.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I do notice the other day, Brett was commenting on the, you know, the one of our stories that was just in the news again about the boy who ate the slug, I think it was, or maybe a snail on a dare and got the rat lung disease.
Awful. That was one of my least favorite episodes of all time.
You're welcome.
Oh, good. Good. Glad you liked it.
It was so awful.
I'll go real on this one. I'll go
yeah,
real.
I say real.
I want it to be false.
I made this one up.
Yes!
I made this one up.
Nice. Thank God.
Well,
how awful would that be?
Well
a
played.
Snail boring
well
into
played.
Your colon.
Sounds awful.
I went false awful. Mainly because I'm like, what tripped me up was gastropod. I'm like, a gastropod wouldn't be specific to a colon, right?
Why would it be in your colon? I just don't like that.
No.
Around, luckily, it won't be.
Good. Thank you for making up that
thank
horrifying
goodness.
Parasite.
All right. Last, is it a parasite or not? Tongue-eating right. crustacean.
That's true.
Crustacean.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've covered something
totally
similar, I think.
Yeah.
The tongue-eating
did
louse.
The tongue-eating louse.
Simothea. Is exugia.
Oh, look at you go.
Enters through the gills of a spotted rose snapper, attaches to the yep. base of the tongue, sucking blood from it. Therefore, the yep. tongue withers away. It falls off. It attaches itself to the tongue
horrifying.
Stump
uh-huh.
and siphons nutrients away as it carries on its life.
Yeah. We,
that
did,
one,
we did cover
we
this
did
one
cover
on the show.
Yep.
Very early on in the yep. show. Yeah.
I remember I had God, to look for photos horrifying. For that, and it was traumatizing.
Yeah, I think
you're
that
welcome,
was one of
Rachel.
Mine.
You're welcome. Yeah.
All right, well.
We love to give you good stuff to look up.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
see. Is it as traumatizing as what's up next?
oh, great.
Oh, dear.
Why?
We are going to play a couple, not just one, but a couple games of Would You Rather.
Oh, no.
I like this.
Oh, gosh.
I like having you have to choose one way or the other. I mean, it is similar to Eat, Ride, or Jacket, however, quite
sure.
different.
Mm-hmm.
All right. First up, would you rather be a test subject for tiger perfume, meaning we're going to spray you with scents and see which one the tiger prefers or does not prefer, or,
okay.
or would you like to be a test subject for botfly treatments?
Oh, I'm going
no.
for the tiger.
Oh.
Tiger.
I'm going tiger.
No question.
Wait, hold on. Is this a wild tiger or are we in a zoo?
Good question.
You know, I envisioned it in a zoo, but I think if we brought
okay.
you out to a big grassy plain where the tigers live and slathered you in some sort of scent, just see what happens. You know what? Let's go wild tiger. Wild tiger.
Oh, that's a harder decision.
Okay, that changes things.
Then the bot fly is not going to kill me.
That's true. Much
and
more
a tiger
gross.
Very much... could decide
you
to
said, okay
if I'm putting something on my body to make me more attractive to a tiger
but there's a chance
a
that you're not attractive
like bad
no, you're not attractive short. To the tiger
yeah
look,
maybe,
I'm
maybe
very
alone.
Attractive that's not the issue I mean it is I'm not going to die from the botfly. If there's a chance I'm going to be attacked by a tiger, there's a very good chance I'm going to be maimed for life and not survive.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
going botfly, yeah. As horrifying as that would be.
I can't argue with your reasoning, Kirk. Same.
Yeah.
If it were a zoo tiger, though, tiger all the way.
I'm going with tiger. If anything, yeah. I get a fun story.
Wait, Rachel, you're going with tiger?
Yeah.
Wild tigers? Out in a field?
I mean,
first, there's a 50-50 odds
story
that they won't be attracted to me scent-wise.
It's this whole, like, oh, I got a great story. Oh, what's that? It's a story of how I lost my leg.
I could live without a leg.
Well, and it could just be a story about Rachel and the time she was...
Yeah, like, what Rachel's a way to not go. The one telling it.
That's it. She may not get to share that story, so...
What a way to go. I contributed to science.
I know. There's something to be said
about
that.
There's other ways to contribute to science than sacrificing your body. Yeah.
I'd rather bot do flies. That than bot flies. Mm-mm. I don't like the idea of things being burrowed into my skin and then burrowing. No.
Yeah, if it was a zoo and I was with one of like the tiger keepers who has a lot of experience and they're like, this is gonna be cool, like, don't worry, the tiger's not gonna eat you, but they maybe come over and sniff you and stuff
and
like,
smack you around.
They told
a bit.
Me that it's okay. Well, I don't think they necessarily do that. Like, you know, if it's in a controlled situation with a known tiger, it's safer. But some of those people, you know, we all saw Tiger King, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, stuff happens. They are big. Mean cats, not mean, that mean is kind of anthropomorphic, but like they got stuff going on, you know, and they are so huge and muscular.
Correct.
That they may not even be, they may think they're playing with you and end up, you know, maiming you quite badly. Mm-hmm. So botfly it is.
There it is. The moment you chose botfly over tiger, you never thought it would happen, but you did.
I will.
Sophie's choice.
Yeah, no.
Oh. You're going to get maimed by the tiger?
Oh, yeah,
is that
absolutely.
What you're going with, Rachel?
I am going to tiger get maimed maiming. By... I'm going tiger maimed, absolutely.
Okay.
I can live without a limb.
You don't have to. Right, the bot fly is not going to take a limb.
I know, but I can.
As a follow-up to Rachel, would you rather lose the arm, that your dominant arm, or... both legs.
Both legs.
Would you rather, to the tiger, lose your dominant arm or both legs?
Both legs.
Okay.
Oh. Wow.
Hey, okay. Personal,
that's not the choice
personal
I would
story.
Make.
There's two things that go into this, okay?
Oh, there's a personal story attached to this.
Oh,
God.
Oh, just wait. Personal story. One, on my dominant arm, I have a really cool tattoo that I'm partial to.
What? Rachel, you could get that redone.
Two, my mom was a double amputee. I know how to work and deal with being in a wheelchair and working without legs. I'm down. Both legs gone. Totally fine. See? Personal story.
Wow. I'd go with the arm, I think, because like I could learn how to write with my left hand.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about writing.
No.
It's other stuff.
Yeah, other stuff, right, Victoria? Other stuff.
Uh-huh. Like driving. And we're all right-handed, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Teaching. I would be down. Both legs can go. I'll be okay.
I think I would rather go. Are we talking above or below the knee?
This is really just a question for Rachel.
At this point, yeah. Nah, I'd be fine without both legs. I'd figure it out. I could get double prosthetics too. That would be fun.
I think I actually would go with the legs too, because it's easier to get prosthetics. Prosthetics for your legs work better than arm and hand prosthetics.
Arms. Yeah,
and the little pinchy
also,
thing.
Also, like, I'm just thinking about, it would be hard to learn how to walk again and go through, it would be hard no matter what. Like, if I lose an arm, I have to learn how to write with my other hand and work
Correct.
With a prosthetic potentially with my right arm or what's left of my right arm versus like, yeah, I have to learn how to walk again and deal with all of that. But like, I would be fine. I have enough experience with what my mom went through. Like, I understand.
I just want to again state for the record that I'm going to go with Botfly and lose no limbs.
Noted. Noted. All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Second, would you rather be a test subject for mosquito virus attraction, meaning you're going to be subjected to certain viruses and we're going to find out which ones the mosquitoes like more, or would you like to test other animals other than the beetles that Victoria talked about for anal moisture retention?
I'm testing the beetles.
Their anus or mine?
No. Remember, the beetles were moisture farming with their anuses.
Yeah.
And so you are going to go out and test other animals' anuses for moisture retention.
See if they're moisture farming?
That's
it. Totally that.
I'm doing beetles.
That sounds fascinating.
All the way.
That's some cool research.
Oh, yeah. We're going. Right.
Although, I will point out, if you are out doing that research, there's a chance you are going to be eaten by mosquitoes anyways.
Then you can peck the mosquitoes' butts.
But you get to do some cool research, so.
You jumped on the butt swabbing wagon real quick there. That was impressive. That was real impressive.
I don't want to deal with
you see a good wagon, you jump on it.
And mosquitoes. I'd rather check.
Oh, we're going to lose them, folks. We're going to lose them. There's a laughing fit starting.
I'd rather
the known challenge of working with Brett.
The butts of other insects.
There goes that moisture farming wagon. Get it. Get it.
Then.
It's like being on Tatooine.
Wow.
They were moisture farmers, but I don't think they used moisture evaporators, not insect butts.
I'd rather insect butts.
All right. Sounds good. Well, we're moving on to some more naturalist knowledge. We're going to play Real Bird or Not. Kirk, I will be disappointed if you miss any of these.
Oh, jeez. There are, just so listeners know, there's approximately 10,000 birds on Earth. So
that is correct.
I do not know them all.
I don't believe
you, Kirk. 10,000 species. And again, I'm going to use common names. I know that sometimes, but I'm the one with the hostile takeover. I'm the one that makes the rules. So, all right. So here we go, folks. Real bird or not. Number one, the skipping marsh stalker. Skipping marsh stalker. Real bird or not.
Skipping, marsh stalker. Marsh stalker sounds very plausible. The skipping part I'm a little skeptical about.
I won't say anything for a moment. Rachel, you got a thought on this?
I do, but my cat is attacking the door.
I'm not sure that's relevant.
It's
but,
not the end of the game.
Yeah, I will
He's
say.
Very upset.
I'm gonna say fake.
Yeah, I've not heard of this, so I guess I'll just say fake.
I think what's getting me is the marsh stalker part, like the fact that is it like a heron, like a rail, like stalker isn't like a familiar group of birds. So I'm also gonna go with a fake bird, but I like that it's skipping. Is it? Because if it's skipping, does it skip marshes or does it do the skipping motion? In like slow motion, it looks like it's slowly skipping as it stalks its prey.
It does none of that because it was a made-up bird. It was a made-up bird.
But how cool would that be?
I don't disagree. That's why I came up with it. It was one of those things in my brain. I thought that would be fun to see a bird skipping along the edge of the marsh. But I dream. Number two. The tinkling cysticola. The tinkling cysticola.
That sounds, I think that sounds real.
I'm going with real.
I feel like that's a real bird.
Yeah, I'll go real.
I like that it's
it
tinkling.
It is.
What?
Yeah, that's, I want to know. I didn't look up a whole lot about the tinkling, prefix,
I mean, I guess
if you will.
In reference to the sound they make.
Oh, it sounds like tinkling bells.
Not to how they relieve themselves.
Well, maybe they like let a little bit go everywhere they go.
No, I don't.
I mean, it seems like a lot of birds do that.
That would be the best.
We'll talk about bird physiology later,
the
Rachel.
Bird.
It just peed a little bit everywhere it went, so we went with tinkling. Wow.
Birds actually don't pee. Well, so.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
exactly.
I'm sorry. They defecate everywhere they go.
Okay.
It's liquidy.
Right, next.
Number three, the Satanic Nightjar. The Satanic Nightjar.
I want it to be true.
Nightjar?
Totally real.
Yeah.
Absolutely real.
Definitely. Absolutely.
That is a real bird. Well done. Yes. Well done.
Is it all black?
Does it have red eyes?
No, to me, I thought when I looked at it, it reminded me a little of the, what's the one, what the heck? Like the Nighthawks that we have around.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of have that bigger mouth to them. There's kind of goofy shaped face.
Kind of freaky.
It's the goat sucker family or the Nighthawks and the Nightjars. The goat suckers is another name for that family.
Yeah.
That's a horrible
You haven't heard this
goat
before, Rachel?
Suckers.
Yeah, it is great.
The Satanic Goat Sucker would be a better name.
They just like, that's just Chupacabra.
Brett just took a big breath.
Oh, Chupacabra you speak. Hold on. You're jumping ahead. Anyways, number four of bird or not,
I'm so curious.
Rose-crested brushhawk.
Brushhaw? Wait, can you spell that last one?
Brushhawk. Brushhawk.
Okay.
Rose-crested brushhawk, real or not?
I say not.
I'll say not.
I'm going to go with real.
It's not a bird. Oh. It's not a bird.
Well, so slap me upside the head with a beaver tail.
There's very few crested raptors.
Yeah.
There's a couple.
Crested caracara.
The caracara.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, all right. The last. What do you got? Something? What do you got there? Nothing?
Well,
nothing?
Just slap me upside the head with a beaver tail.
That's the line you were trying to work in, isn't it? That's
yeah,
the
it
line.
Is.
You felt the need to repeat it, so I'm
did.
Wait, that's got to be the line.
It is.
That,
yeah. Y'all, I
may work that into my everyday, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
For
we'll see.
Listeners, a friend of mine, like, helped me think of, like, a really funny thing to say while Brett was on, and that was it. So there you all go.
All right. Well, I am not dying of laughter. Hopefully that does not offend the individual. I'm sorry.
No.
Last bird, real or not, fluffy-backed tit babbler. Fluffy-backed tit babbler.
It sounds so ridiculous that it probably God. Has to be real.
It has to be, right? I'm going with real. Like, that's so silly. Fluffy back.
I've never heard of a tit babbler.
No, it does sound fake. It sounds fake.
I'll say fake.
I'm going real just because I want it to be real.
I am sorry to inform you, Kirk, you did not go 5 for 5. The fluffy back tit babbler is indeed a real bird.
Yes!
Where can I go to see one? Do we know?
You know, I didn't look. I saw a picture of it and it had, you know, kind of this feather on its back that I'm assuming was part of like mating type things as a display. I really should have done a little bit more research on it. However, I was busy coming up with my next question, so I didn't.
All right, well, we'll move on to closer and closer to the Chupacabra.
All right, so yeah, well, as Rachel alluded, she did mention the Chupacabra. Not that I had Chupacabra written down, but it took, of the 160 episodes, it took all the way to episode 139, where this esteemed nature-based podcast first referenced something that, to some, too many, would be considered a cryptid. An animal that might be made up. And up until then, that ship had steered far clear. Far clear. Yep, there it was, episode 139, The Jackalope.
It was the first episode.
Covered as to what it was and the virus and why it looks like it has antlers. Yet there I was going, wait, I kind of feel like the door has been pushed open just a little with regards to cryptids. And, you know, Rachel, once upon a time, you did talk about the, what was that? It was the,
I talked about unicorns. I've talked about...
What was the ocean one?
I talked about the coelacanth.
I talked about sea monsters.
Maybe it was the sea monster one for Halloween 2 years ago.
Yeah, there was the sea monster. There was rabies. Oh, it was Uncanny Valley.
Phoenixes.
Phoenix, that's what it was. The phoenix. Mm. I myself am a massive fan of cryptids and have been waiting for the day where this show might break off into that lane just a little. And if that were to happen, I'm curious from all of you, what might be each of your favorite cryptid, your favorite quote-unquote made-up animal, and why?
Mm. I've always been partial to the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Mm.
Yeah.
Cool.
I feel like there's a lot of scope for speculation with Nessie.
Mm-hmm. I did go to Loch Ness, and I didn't see anything that time.
Yeah, I have also been there, did not see.
You didn't see anything, Rachel?
I saw a beautiful loch.
Oh, okay.
It's quite lovely.
Good. Really. That's really a hard question, Brett, because I used to teach like a whole cryptozoology summer camp for kids. Yep. I've got like a bunch of different cryptozoology encyclopedias and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a topic that is I think is interesting, especially when you have a lot of these early explorers who were trying to track down some of these animals that people really didn't know. Like, well, we've heard of this strange animal like a zebra or a giraffe or these things that just seem completely bizarre until you actually see one. You don't know if they're real or not. So people had to track down a lot of these stories. A favorite one, like, man, that is tough.
See, I'm trying to.
I think some of the stories around the chupacabra are pretty. Mm-hmm. The mythology around that one's pretty good. Just that it's such a scary, sort of creature. Yeah. Maybe it has wings and can fly, but it's sort of this attacking, just wild kind of animal. Mm. So that's, I'll go with that one. Although, you know what, we could go classic too. I mean, Biggie.
Oh yeah.
You know, Big Mr. Foot is always a classic.
Yep.
Yeah. See, I'm just sitting here. I'm trying to think of I'm trying to think of like between myth and like cryptid. Cause like my gut says like phoenix or like dragon.
Sure,
that would be cool. But those
are
mythical
awesome.
Creatures. They're not necessarily cryptids.
Are, not were. I like how you emphasize that.
Right.
You can draw, it's where you draw the line is
real thin.
I recently learned about a cryptid or perhaps mythical creature I had not heard of before.
Ooh.
From Australia. I don't know if you know this one, Rachel. Bunyip?
Oh, I've heard of a bunyip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a...
It's a good one.
Man-eating...
Rabbit.
Monster of some kind
that
lives in water in Australia.
Yeah. Shout out to our Australian listeners. Yeah.
I had not heard of this before, but I'm reading a book series that mentions it.
Yeah. Awful.
I want to know, Brett, what's your favorite?
I mean, it's Bigfoot, and it's Bigfoot,
of course,
because I if you've been around me, which a lot of you have, I think the thing that fascinates me about Bigfoot is that before this world got really tiny, and by that I mean connected, and where information travels in an instant, pictures, everything is so small now. Where before that happened, and Kirk, you referenced this, people traveling to these faraway lands and sharing stories and then having to go and try to find it. Like, you go back through the histories, and it seems like every group of people spread out along the planet had their own story of this large, like, bipedal, human-like creature.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I'm just going, man, wild that they... So many of those stories, same creature, different names exist, long before.
And some of them turned out to be true.
Yeah.
I mean, there are, you look at the mountain, like lowland gorillas,
Right.
And you look at stories, there was these stories of these hairy, red-haired men who lived in the jungles. And when people went and looked, they discovered orangutans. Like,
right.
Yeah,
and people thought those were just, that's just made up stories. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, they're real, turns out. So I think that sparks people's imaginations even more.
Right, and I love the passion that mm-hmm. people seem to have for Bigfoot, regardless of how legit or unlegit, you know, it is. I love that it right. just has sparked this entire universe unto itself of followers and all that stuff. So it's Bigfoot in a landslide.
Yeah.
So.
I think
Bigfoot, in my mind, I think I've said this in the show before, but Bigfoot is sort of I look at Bigfoot as a metaphor for wilderness and like looking at that forest and going, man, there's just it. I hope there is something undiscovered out there because we want there to be wild, undiscovered places. Yeah. I just have to laugh when people like, they're like, oh yeah, we saw Bigfoot in this place. And you're like, you realize that's like 100-acre park, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's barely like, but people's imaginations of like, they see a row of trees and in their mind, it goes on for miles and miles and miles. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think that's such a, it says something about our, you know, society and our psyche that we want there to be wildness. We want there to be wilderness that has full of mysteries and unexplored places. Even if, you know, prospectors and foresters have crawled through every square mile of that forest, it doesn't look like it now, maybe. And so it's like, oh, maybe I'm the first one here. Maybe there's a Bigfoot around the next corner. And I think that's really appealing to a lot of people.
I think that's agreed. Why I'm going to go with either the Kraken or Mothman.
Ooh, good one.
Mothman. Mm-hmm. The Kraken is, the ocean's huge. Exactly. You know, you're such a fan of the ocean.
Yep.
I'm not surprised by the Kraken pick.
Yeah. I've talked about a colossal squid, and like that's a potential inspiration for the Kraken. And I think that's just fascinating anyway, to like have that be like this giant octopusy sea monster coming and taking down ships. Like that's wild anyway. And there's so much that we are still learning about the ocean, especially the deep ocean. That would be really cool. And then Mothman, like I just have friends who would really love to meet Mothman, and I think that would be fun.
Okay. Life goals.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we have reached the final question of time.
Here we go.
And Kirk, now earlier you shouted out to your Australian listeners, and I've been following along. I know that there is this very heated competition over the number three country on the listenership list between our friends of the North Canada and the folks in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
What's about to happen might give our friends to the north a slight edge going forward.
Ooh.
For Eat Rider Jacket, I am going to Australia.
Yeah.
I felt like spends a lot of time there. Felt like this was a good way to wrap up.
The continent
up
that
this.
Keeps on giving.
It truly.
Yeah, for sure. You know what I thought? Victoria covered all, you know, why are there so many poisonous, you know, venomous animals there? And I thought, I don't really want that because I want this to be a difficult choice, right? I mean, I want you to have to really think about what animal am I eating? What animal am I making a jacket out of? And what animal am I going to ride? Your options for Eat Rider Jacket, I guess the Australia edition, are the Drop Bears.
Uh-huh.
Also known as the koalas, the kangaroos, and the of the square poop themselves, the wombats. Koala, kangaroo, wombat, Eat Rider Jacket. Who wants to dance first?
People really do hard. Eat kangaroo.
Exactly. Eating kangaroo. Although they would be the easiest ride size-wise.
Yeah, I think the others are too small.
We've covered this before. Are we shrinking or are we finding one that is large enough and gigantizing it so we could ride it?
I mean, you could if that's on the table, you could ride in the pouch of a kangaroo.
Ooh.
A big roo is jumping around
amazing.
And you're waving out
what
of the pouch.
What a bouncy ride.
You know, I'd like to think that you have to make it work with the animal in its given state.
Okay.
That makes it really hard, man.
Yeah, you got.
Because that puts kangaroo into the ride category there.
Nah, I'm eating kangaroo.
You went straight
it's
to
gonna be
kangaroo,
lean meat.
But I'll tell you, kangaroo leather is also very much used in a lot of products because it's a very tough leather. It may when we do work with our raptors, we often have gloves that are made out of kangaroo.
Mm-hmm. I don't like.
Well, that being said,
leather,
like
though.
I like a good leather jacket. Like I have a leather jacket, but at the same time, like I don't want a full out. Like I'm gonna make it into a jacket. That's true. I'm not thinking. My brain went full outfit, and I don't want to do a full outfit of kangaroo leather.
So, I want to see a full outfit of whatever animal you're jacketing.
A jacket.
Kangaroo
suit. It's a jacket.
Ryder body suit.
I gotta imagine that. I feel horrible. Brett always makes us feel horrible for saying these sort of sentences.
Right.
But I have to imagine that. A koala doesn't taste particularly
That's
good.
Why I'm going I think, kangaroo.
You know, I think wombats would probably taste okay. I bet it's a nicely, like a marbled meat, I would think, sort of.
I'm gonna...
Probably not too bad.
I have my decision. I know.
I have my answer.
I'm going to eat the kangaroo. I'm going to wear the koala. Okay. And I'm going to ride the wombats. If I have to ride them like little rollerblades, then I have
roller
to roll
skates?
Them.
I love
that
phrase. I'm going to ride the wombat.
I'm going to ride the wombat like
roller skates.
I think she's going to squish them and just slide down the hill maybe.
There we go.
Rachel, I agree with you insofar as I am also going to jacket the koala, because I think like it's like sort of a chic gray fur.
Yeah, with a little like white pattern bits.
Yeah.
Accent.
I'm going to ride the kangaroo because I feel like that would be super fun. And it's also really only the only animal large enough to possibly carry a human.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I honestly, I think wombat might be okay for eating. It'd be okay.
Well, we're going to have to look that up after the show, or maybe if any of our Australian listeners know about the different eating properties. Can you eat wombat? I have no idea. But here's what I'm going to completely 100% agree with Victoria on this. I'm a practical person. I guess ride the kangaroo. They're probably going to be pretty ticked off about it. But
that's the other thing. I don't want to like
square up on you.
Exactly.
I'm not going to win a fight
against a kangaroo, so I'm going to eat it instead.
This is such a ridiculous question, you guys. I'm going to go ahead and assume that this is a trained kangaroo.
What is it with you and the trained animal?
To give rides. Yeah.
A trained tiger, a trained kangaroo.
Yeah.
Hey, I was
going to a trained kangaroo, who's my personal transport agent.
A wild tiger.
And then I am going to go with a luxurious koala jacket. I'll feel very bad about it, but it's gonna look pretty dapper.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure koalas are endangered. Yeah,
that's look. I didn't make up the question. I'm just forced to answer it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I think
butchering manatees on some reason.
that's true.
That did happen last
episode of this.
Thank you for what you make us do. There you go, manatee. And then I'm going to try the wombat. Now, there's every possible chance that wombats taste absolutely terrible or not great. But there's a lot you can do with food. If meat is tough or doesn't, has
stew.
A bit of a strong flavor, you can mix in lots of spices.
Yeah.
Your wombat that you're eating is going to have a pineapple glaze on top of it.
No.
No, that's not in the rules of this game.
No, you can't change it mid game. If you wanted to throw pineapple into the mix, which we all abhor, you should have brought that up at the beginning, Brett. Put it in your notes for next year. I think you already did a pineapple
last year. That was pigeon crop milk or pineapple.
And I went crop milk and everybody else went pineapple.
Rachel likes to be a contrarian and go a little different than everybody else.
Some day also make us choose if we wanted to eat pineapple or save endangered species.
Ooh.
I think that was. Or
I thought it was eating the pineapple or drinking the crop milk.
Either way, pineapple
was a part of it.
Gross.
We had to do that in order to save the species, I think. Yeah.
That is The end of my questions, the end of the takeover. You all performed marvelously. I appreciate just being able to come on and do this. And as silly as it is, yet still sneaking in some real things that I hope just kind of fit right in with stuff that you're already talking about on the show. So you're all great sports this. I appreciate it.
A delight as always.
Thank you, Brett, for coming
on
and doing this. If there's stuff that we talked about during the show that people are kind of going, what on earth? Like, you can go back and listen to our previous, end of the year, beginning of the year roundups that we do. And by year, I mean the podcast year, which is kind of starts and ends here in March, that from when the show started. You can hear other ones when Brett was on. You can hear the episode where Brett was on as a guest. I think we got one planned for the future as well, but Brett talked about...
Whale 52, I think.
Loneliest Whale in the Ocean, I think that episode was called. It was a quite popular episode. Ooh. And I encourage people to explore the back catalog there. There's lots of fun stuff. We now have, like I said, 160 episodes to go through. And people have been going back and listening to those old shows. And it's really fun to hear from people when they finally get to an episode. And they're like, oh my gosh, like I never caught this one the first time around or whatever. You can, as usual, send us a message at contact@strangebynaturepodcast.com. If you want to comment on one of the old shows, or if you have ideas for future shows or something you want to have us talk about on the show, we always love to hear from people. Don't forget to head on over to patreon.com/strangebynature to learn more about the Society of Strange. We got a lot of people who have signed up to become patrons and get those ad-free, those delicious ad-free episodes. And we just also want to say thank you to everybody. We really appreciate everybody sticking around and making this possible and growing this podcast into something that means a lot to us. And I know means a lot to a lot of you listeners too. So thanks so much.
Thank you. We wouldn't be here without you.
Yeah, thanks, y'all.
We'd just be sitting around talking to ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, we do that anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, but you know, it's fun to have you all along for the ride.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Woo! All right, well, onward to the fourth year of the podcast. We'll see everybody in episode 161. I'm excited
this
to see what everybody has to bring.
This is 162.
162. I'm sorry. Episode 162 as we're kicking off the new year. And I'm excited to see what
the fourth year is
going to
include episode 200.
Yeah,
but that's
true.
It will.
Woo!
If you have an idea of something special we should do for episode 200, the email address is contact@strangebynaturepodcast.com. I want to hear if you have some fun ideas for something we could do to make the 200th episode something special.
Oh,
it should be.
Absolutely. Oh, thanks, everybody.
Great. Everybody have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to today's show. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes drop every Wednesday, and we love sharing this strange world with all of our listeners. If you would be so kind as to leave us a 5-star review, that would be great. It lets other lovers of the strange discover the show. You can reach out to us on social media by searching for Strange by Nature Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can send us an email as well. Our address is contact@strangebynaturepodcast.com. If you want more information about the show, you can also check out our website, which is strangebynaturepodcast.com. Until next week, get outside, stay curious, and embrace the strange.